Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Categorically Romance podcast. My name is Bree, and I have an OG guest, like one of the original first guests here on the podcast. She is back finally, author Nina Crespel. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so happy to have you back.
I'm excited to be back, Bree. This is making my day.
Thank you. Okay, we're in the thick of March when we're recording. How has 2024 been for you so far?
It's been a mix of busy, but also a lot of good things happening as well. Of course, a lot of writing going on, but I think 2024 is going to be an okay year for me.
I love that. I have a couple of icebreakers for you. So the first one, tell me too. I'm big on like, what are women, what are we obsessing over right now? So like, what are two of your favorite things at the moment? It can be anything.
Right now, I am just crazy about my plants. I don't know where this came from, but like in the past few months, I've just become obsessed with my plants and just adding. So I've added 3 olive trees to my collection. I've never grown olive trees before, so I'm really excited. And one of them actually has little blossoms on it, and it wasn't supposed to. So I'm excited about that. I'm growing mammoth sunflowers for the first time.
I love sunflowers.
I have no idea where I'm going to put it, though, because, like, you know, they're so huge. And I think the second thing I'm obsessing over, and it is because of my writing and my research for the Bishop Bee Farm series, is country music, because
one of my
characters, he is a country music artist. And so I've just been diving into Black country music artists for the past like 4 or 5 months and just loving it.
Okay. What recommendations do you have? Because I feel like we're all in our country music era, and I'm like, you know, I grew up, my grandparents always had like old school country playing in the kitchen, and I was like, okay, whatever, you know, but like now I'm like, who are the good artists?
Oh gosh. I mean, cause I've discovered, you know, country with a little bit of hip hop mixed in is my jam. So right now, Breland is somebody that I'm listening to. Rashad, and he spells the A's with V's, actually, if you look him up. I love Rashad. Right now, I have a lot of his songs on my playlist. Raina Roberts, another one, Kane Brown. And let's see, I pulled up my playlist. You shouldn't have asked.
I love that country is like just really about storytelling. So I love that it's having this moment and we're seeing more like Black country artists being recognized, because I'm like, we're gonna tell some stories. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right about the story part, and that's what's so inspirational when it comes to researching you know, my upcoming book, because those songs just seemed to personify what I wanted this character to represent. And it was just so easy to listen to song after song and like about relationships and just
everything.
So, yeah, I'm just loving it.
Okay. And with your plants, one of your pictures that I loved, you took a picture. It looked like, I don't know, like an old like Volkswagen Beetle or something. And it had all these plants coming out.
I don't own that. It was like at the local like garden center. And it's this really cute place that you can buy plants, and they have a little shop where you can buy like organic foods, and they have ice cream, and they make waffle cones from scratch, and you can book your events there. It's just a little magical place that you can walk around and get lost, as well as buy a few plants.
Mm-hmm. Have you always been a plant mom, or is this like a recent, thing that you've fallen in love with?
I've always had a plant or two. I've always grown plants, but for some reason, I know this house, we moved into it maybe 2 years ago. It could be coming on 3 years, but it has this wonderful wall glass window that just brings in so much light. And it was just meant for plants, as well as the little outdoor area. It was just meant for plants. And, you know, it was the easy way to fill space and decorate because I got tired of furniture. I was like, I don't want more furniture. We didn't really need more furniture. And so plants are just, you know, so healthy and, you know, they just add so much color. And I just enjoy getting lost and taking care of them. It's my relaxation technique where I wake up every morning.
I want to be a plant mom. Green is my favorite color. So I just imagine like having a space that's just all greenery. Like,
yes. It can become a little obsessive too. You know, one little pest and it's like, okay, where's it come from?
Where's it come from? Yeah.
You know, one little brown leaf. How did that happen? Research it. And my husband just looks at me like, okay.
Well, we were talking music because they like your favorite thing. But like the next question was, what's a song that's gotten stuck in your head recently? So was it one of the country songs or what?
Gosh, yes. The song that is stuck in my head right now is, a couple of them. Okay. There's one that it's hit different, and that one is by Rashad, and it's just basically talking about how, you know, if you're not used to, you know, a country boy who can boot scoot and all of the things that he's used to having grown up in his little town in Georgia, it's like, hey, I just hit different. So
I love that.
I'm into that song.
And what is one of your favorite colors to wear?
Pink or like salmon pink, anything in that family. In fact, that's what I have on now. When I was deciding to get dressed, I said, what do I want to do? I want to feel bright. So I chose.
I've come to appreciate salmon. That is a beautiful color.
Yeah, you can find some really great hues that are just warm or bright depending on your mood. So yeah, that's my color right now.
Well, another one of your photos that I loved seeing is, and I feel so left out of these things because I'm so far away, but you were at the Coastal Magic Convention and I'm like, you know what? Like, I don't know. I just remember it being on like East Southern Coast. And I'm like, I lived in Georgia for 7 years and I never went to anything. And now I live in Texas and like there's stuff here, but you know, I don't know. I feel like all the fun stuff happens on that side of the country. And I just loved seeing you at your table. So like, what was the experience like and like meeting fans at conventions like that? Like, what do you enjoy about it?
It's amazing. Coastal Magic is a, you know, many of the conventions, or I should say all of the conventions that I've gone to are great. I can honestly say I haven't been to one that I was just like, no, not the one I want to go to again. But Coastal Magic, what I love is that they really encourage the readers to read our books ahead of time. And so if a reader has never experienced us before, it gives them an opportunity to kind of dive in because they have little reader competitions and things like that. So they get really excited. And so with this conference, what was really for me an uplifting experience is that some of the readers who are in the competition, they get to choose their prizes. And so one of the prizes was a private conversation with me. And so they set something up ahead of the convention, just a little Zoom chat, and just being able to meet them and answer questions. And there's new readers, and just to feel their excitement was great. And then to meet them in person and be able to, you know, take pictures, and they're introducing me to like this one lady, she was there with her daughter. And so it was just a really, you know, nice bonding moment for them. So it's just always exciting to, just kind of bask in their enthusiasm because as a writer, you know, I'm stuck in my office sometimes just staring at my computer for hours and days on end. And you forget that there are people out there who are actually reading the books. And so just being able to get out and people and just see their enthusiasm and what they're excited about in reading, whether it's my books or someone else's books, it's just really uplifting and kind of like a little shot in the arm, I guess, for me as an author.
Oh, I love that. Like, how do you all find out? Like, okay, this convention is happening. Do you reach out and say, hey, I'd like to come? Or are they reaching out to you like, hey, Nina, like, we would really love you to be part of this? Like, how does the, what are the technicalities of you going?
It happens both ways. Coastal Magic, I think, was a conference that, if I'm remembering correctly, was one of the conferences that I had heard such good things about. And so I sent the little email, because they have like a form or something that you can fill out, and said that I was interested in joining them. And so 4 years ago, I think, possibly five, I went to my first conference with them, but it was virtual because we were in the midst of the pandemic at that time. So that's how I came across that one. But like, for instance, the Las Vegas Book Festival, one of my readers, put my name in and wanted me to come. And so I got an invitation.
I love that.
You know, in that way. So it happens both ways.
Yeah. I'm always fascinated because I hear so many of you all talk about like the writing process, and it is such a solitary thing, you know, unless you are like part of a writer's group or something, but you're also still having those moments where it's just you by yourself.
Yes.
But then there's like the after part of it, like the social media presence, and then also just that opportunity to actually go and be with your readers. You know, yeah. It's like the book is done, but that's not it.
No, not by any means.
So for anyone who's new to your bibliography, can you describe a Nina Crespo romance to them? Like, what's the hallmark of it?
I would like to think that it is the relationships are fun, passionate. Sometimes there's an emotional component to it in terms of events or experiences that the readers have gone through. And of course, the happily ever after. But I just really think the fun, passionate, hoping that readers find that emotional connection with the readers, because that's what I'm really looking for with these books. And they have a spicy element to them as well.
Yeah. Do you feel like your style, like where you are now writing wise, was it something that you feel like you had to grow into? Like, was it, you know, did you start off writing the books that you wanted to write, or has your writing evolved?
Definitely my writing has evolved from the first book. Mm-hmm. I look back and I was such a newbie, you know, in terms of just diving in. It's like, I'm just going to write this story. It's one night stand, and, you know, and oh my goodness, they want to publish it. This is amazing.
Yeah.
But over years of time and working with people and being exposed to other authors and their work, you learn a few things about how to craft a story and how to build a character. So definitely the process has changed. I think the writing has changed as well, hopefully for the better. But it's a growing experience. You're always learning. I think if you stop learning, or if I were to stop learning, that's when I would worry. So I think my books have definitely evolved and will continue to evolve over time. Mm-hmm. But I think the core components of those passionate, sometimes emotional circumstances that the readers are going through will always be a part of what I'm writing.
You mentioned the process has changed. How so?
A little more deliberate. I am a pantser at heart, but I have learned to be more of a planner when necessary to be able to build a story and do it more effectively, quite honestly, and save me some heartache. Mm-hmm. To where I don't kind of write myself in a corner because something hasn't been planned out. So I'm a pantser, but I will plan it out when necessary.
Oh my gosh. I just, especially with special edition becoming a little bit longer, thank goodness, we're so excited for that. But like, I'm trying at writing, and I'm very much a pantser, and the thought of planning makes me very anxious. But I also need to hear from authors like you that are like, I'm very much a pantser, of like how you get through it, because I also feel like I have no idea what I'm doing. I will write a little bit And I'm like, maybe I do need to actually plan a little bit because I don't know what to do next. So like, okay, you're a pantser at heart. What gets you through, especially in those moments where you're like, okay, and what needs to happen next? Do you ever have those moments?
I do. And I think the important thing is to remember that there is no right or wrong way in terms of your process. And that's something that I had to learn, that there's a lot of good advice out there, but being able to develop my process is always the goal. So for me, working with my accountability partner from week to week, I work with Kathy Yardley, have from book one. So she knows all my little quirks and you know, all the little holes that sometimes I want to dive into. So being able to talk to her from week to week to think about stories, to think about what's next is extremely helpful. And just diving into some of the techniques that work for me that might seem strange to other people. Like, for instance, I know I'm good if I can write the beginning of the story. And so sometimes I do write those first five chapters or so. And then I'll write the end of the book. So I'll write the last three chapters so that I can clearly see the arc of where this story is starting and where this story is ending. And then it's just a matter of, okay, well, what needs to happen in between for this ending to happen? And how are the characters different? And how is the situation different? So, you know, that's a technique that I'll use. And honestly, being able to write the end is that satisfies that part of me to know that, okay, this isn't going to last forever. There is light at the end of the tunnel. I just need to get to that point.
I love that kind of like cutting corner, kind of cheating for yourself. Like, okay, it's technically done, but I got a plug in the middle.
Yes, we got to get there.
So your upcoming title is book three in the Fortunes of Texas Digging for Secrets miniseries called Expecting a Fortune. It has a gorgeous, gorgeous cover on it. Can you tell us what it's about?
Well, you know, for those who might not know about the Fortunes of Texas series, it's been around for a really long time. And so the Fortunes have, of course, these branches of the family. And in the mini series, things happen. It's like a family saga, drama, soap opera type situation, which is my jam, because I also like that in my books as well for my own series. But with the Expecting a Fortune, Bea has received some money. And so now she gets the opportunity to create her passion, which is a restaurant that's going to be her mother's, you know, down home recipes that she and her siblings have grown up for years. But there's some sabotage going on. There's some things going on that are getting in the way of opening this restaurant. And so Devin Street, who is he's everything. He owns the newspaper. He's, you know, the reporter and just about everything from sports to local happenings. And he's also the anonymous restaurant critic. And so when things don't go as planned for B in the opening of a restaurant on opening night, he ends up writing a not so favorable review, which kind of puts them on, you know, like opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of opinions. But then they meet up later on. And there's definitely a spark of passion that leads to something more, much, much more. And I'm not, you know, no spoilers. If you look at the cover, you can kind of figure out what also happens in the expecting part.
I was like, I can't wait for this book because I don't know if it's supposed to be funny, but when I read about the opening night being sabotaged, I was like, oh, this is hilarious. And then of course the hero is like the critic who gives her a bad review. Like, oh, this is golden. So, I'm always like, I'm always wanting to know now, like, can you share any behind the scenes of while you were writing the book? Like, was there any music you were listening to, any shows you were watching, like anything that kind of inspired you while you were writing it, or just funny moments or anything like that?
I mean, I guess two things come to mind. First, because there's a restaurant that just fell like right into my lane, because quite a few of my books have, I shouldn't say quite a few. Well, they all kind of highlight the food part. But
you're a foodie.
You know, like A Chef's Kiss. She's a chef. Both of them are chefs. And then, An Officer and a Fortune? She's a chef. He likes to cook. So being able to create a restaurant from scratch was a lot of fun. And I think the editors, a special edition with the Fortunes of Texas series, have picked up on the fact that I really get into the restaurant aspect of it. So being able to create a menu to just add some inspiration and texture and color in my mind to this restaurant, I had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah.
And the funny part, I mean, it's funny to me. I mean, I love pets, but I have a cat and not a dog. And so there's a dog in this book. So I had to like ask people like, okay, what are some of the crazy things your dog does?
Two totally different personalities. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so what would you be doing and taking care of this dog? Because, you know, he fosters pets. That's his other thing. He has a very full life. And so being able to understand, like, I had to learn how to take care of a dog.
Yeah. For research purposes.
Yes. Because of course, you know, if you're not taking care of the dog, by the end of the book, someone's going to be like, okay,
yeah,
this dog hasn't eaten. This dog hasn't gone for a walk. You know, what is happening?
Character totally neglected dog.
Yes, exactly.
Well, this isn't your first time writing a Fortunes of Texas romance. So like, what do you enjoy about like being part of these continuities?
The continuities, I mean, first of all, it just, and this is probably the nerdy geeky part of me.
I love nerdy geeky here. I love it.
When you look at the list of like how many Fortunes books have been written, to be able to like, I think I came across something and I don't remember the number, but like An Officer and a Fortune was book number 90 something, I think, you know, which means these other books that have come after that I've written are like number 100 and something. So that just blows my mind to be a part of a series that is, you know, an iconic part of Harlequin, and you know, it's gone on for so long. I mean, that to me is, it just makes me giggle inside as I think of 14 year old me stealing Harlequins from my sister's bedroom. You know, who knew that I would be writing them someday. The other part of it is that it does, for me, it is stretched a few writing muscles in terms of one, the collaboration part, because I'm working with five other authors to build a story. And there are certain elements or you know, pieces of the continuity that have to be there. And so finding out and exploring how to make all of those pieces work, and having a story that, yes, I get to put a lot of my own creative energy into it, but the framework is something that is given to me in the story Bible, right? It's saying this has to happen with these characters. And so again, it just for me has been stretching a writing muscle to say, okay, writing this story and putting in all those elements, as well as collaborating with the other five authors.
Yeah. Well, are you working on anything now that you can tell us about? Or like, is there anything coming up next from you after this one, Expecting a Fortune?
Well, as far as next book after Expecting a Fortune, something fun that I'm excited about is the re-release of A Chef's Kiss, but it's part of a duet with Robin Carr's re-release. It's called Dreaming of a Bright Christmas. So those two books are in a little duet together.
Oh, so, I love that.
Like, oh, yay. Because, you know, A Chef's Kiss is one of my favorite books. So, you know, being able to have that story shared with readers as part of Robin's book is it's a happy thing. You know, it's a happy situation. And again, I look at it and come full circle in terms of my writing experience and say, wow, this is pretty cool. The next book that's part of my Tilbridge world, because there are currently two series that are part of that, which is the Tilbridge Stable series, that trilogy, and then Small Town Secrets is series adjacent to it. So the next series adjacent is Bishop Honey Bee Farm. And it's about an aunt and her two nieces that are running a bee farm in the area around Tilbridge Stables. And they're going through some transition, as my characters do. So in the first one, Brooke Bishop, she is basically what they call the bee whisperer, but she's a bee whisperer who doesn't want to work with bees.
Okay.
For some reasons, but she doesn't want to work with the bees, but she comes home once a year to fulfill her duty at the bee farm. And she runs into Gable Kincaid, who is the country music star, who no longer wants to be a country music star for various reasons. So they share a similarity in that part, and they go on a little journey in bee land, if you will. So,
and one of their titles, you have a book that's been recently, like it's been put on audio.
I forget how many in audio, but let's see.
Oh my gosh, it's the designer one.
Yeah, Chef's Kiss and the Designer Secret.
The Designer Secret. Yes, both. I always see the cover. I just always think of that gorgeous cover. I'm like, this is on audio now?
That's one of my favorites. And at the moment, it's actually on sale. So that's probably why you're seeing it come up a little bit more recently. But yeah, those two books are in audiobooks, and then from other series that I've written, there's audiobooks as well.
How does that happen? Because I get friends that'll ask me that are kind of new to category, like, do they do a lot of audio? And I'm like, not really. But then all of a sudden, like, you'll get a newsletter or you'll get on an author's website and you're like, oh my gosh, like, this book is on audio. So is that you or is that the publisher?
Oh, that's totally the publisher.
Okay.
Because it's just one of those things where you get an email one day and it's like, okay, here is the landing page for your audiobook.
This
is going to be, you know, your series is going to be released in audio. That's kind of like how it happened with my other publisher, Entangle. They're like, okay, well, you know, all five of your books are going to be in audio now. Yay! So that's always a good thing.
Well, where can everyone keep up with you online? Like, plug all your stuff.
Oh, man. Well, you can find me at ninacrespo.com. And so, you know, that's where I keep everything up to date about my books. And I have a blog there that I also keep up to date with posts. Newsletter is the best place to keep in touch with me and what's going on with all things Nina Crespo. And my Facebook author page and Instagram would be the other two places.
Please post some plant pictures for us.
If you go to my author page on Wednesdays, that's kind of like my plant day. Plant day is the best day, and so that's when I share my little plant ventures. And, you know, it made me smile this past week. Someone's like, "I love plant day."
Aww.
Thank you. I'm glad you do.